As Rob Marshall just explained, he gave a couple of the leading roles in the musical Chicago to actors who weren't singers. My guest, Paul Bogave, is the film's conductor and music supervisor. He helped Renee Zellweger and Richard Gere find and develop their singing voices for the film. Bogave has also been the music director of the Broadway productions of Aida, Sunset Boulevard, Aspects of Love, and Starlight Express. He previously worked with Rob Marshall on the TV adaptation of Annie, starring Alan Cumming and Kathy Bates. There's another credit that's not on Bogave's resume, but I think I should mention in the interests of full disclosure, he is the brother of Barbara Bogave, who often guest hosts Fresh Air. Before we talk about Paul Bogave's work, vocal work with the Stars of Chicago, here's Renee Zellweger singing Funny Honey.
Sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong, but he doesn't care. So that funny honey of mine. Sometimes I'm down, sometimes I'm up, but he follows round like some droopy eye pup. He loves me so, that funny honey of mine.
I asked Chicago's music supervisor, Paul Bogave, about how he approached working with Renee Zellweger on her singing.
Well, the first thing that I do is, you know, they come into my studio, which is in the place where we film, and it's a big room with a piano and some music stands. And I also have some chairs away from the music place, away from the piano, and a sofa. And they're all prepared to start, you know, oh, God, he's going to make me start singing notes or scales. And I take them over to the, you know, to the sofa. We sit down and we talk for half an hour or a little longer. The reason I do that is everybody comes to the table, as it were, with a different background in music. And I talked to Renee and I said, you know, like, what do you listen to? Where are you from first? And I found out she was from Texas, which helped greatly because the character Roxy Hart is a transplanted Texas resident who's moved to Chicago. So she already has that, you know, regionalism that we could use. And Renee has a slight Southern accent. And I asked her, you know, I said, what do you listen to? And she talked about blues and country. She was totally unversed with this music, the music of the 20s, but totally eager to immerse herself in it. Renee has a great musicality. She just had never used her voice. And what happened in the course of 6 weeks is I think she went from a range of, comfortable range of four notes to about almost a two octave range, which is 16 notes. And it was a great, great surprise.
So how did you work with Renee Zellweger on increasing her range?
Well, I found a great voice teacher in Toronto named Elaine Overholt, and she was in quite a few of the sessions with me, and we worked technically on certain exercises away from the songs, and then I would take the tune of the song and have Renee sing the tune of the song on a vowel or a me, that's the song Funny Honey, and she would just get used to making tones like that. I also had her speaking quite high in her range at some times. There's a point at the end of the song which is high belt, and it's extremely angry. And in order to get those high notes like that, I had her increase her voice like that. And she started... She did it as an actress. I do this all the time with people because I always want that extension from speaking into singing so it doesn't sound like something separate.
Well, that leads me to something I always wonder about. What do you think is the connection between speaking and singing? Where is it connected and where is it different?
Well, your speaking range can be quite like your singing range. We all have the possibility of a great amount of notes. Most people, and most people in America, and I listen to myself, and I include myself in this, speak in a very limited amount of notes. I'll give you a good example. If you've ever seen Rex Harrison in the movie of My Fair Lady, there's one point where he's has a line that's a loud Wagnerian mother and a voice that shatters glass. Well, he hits a note, a pitch, because in his speaking voice that is so high, it's technically a high B flat. That's like Pavarotti. If you had asked him to sing that note, he could never do it, but he actually got emotionally there with his voice. And that, I mean, that's where you can get it. It begins with speaking. I think of singing as heightened speech. I don't think of it as something separate. And when I see a movie musical, I loathe that problem that a lot of people have with musicals where they're talking. All of a sudden the singing starts and you feel a jolt that something is different, and you shouldn't feel that. You should feel it as just another form of expression.
Now let's look at Richard Gere. What did you think were his strengths and weaknesses?
Richard Gere and I have a lot in common because we're both rock and rollers. He's a great musician, by the way. He plays fantastic guitar. I think he toured with Van Morrison a few years ago, in addition to piano and cornet. But he said, look, I haven't sung in a long time, and I sing up here like that. And he's scrunching his face and pulling his neck up and doing everything wrong for this kind of singing, which is, you know, open-throated and full. So we had to work very much on loosening him up, loosening his jaw and shoulders, and you know, but not losing that raspy quality that he brought to the table that comes from his rock background. I didn't want him trying to imitate some Broadway singer.
Let's hear Richard Gere singing from the soundtrack recording of Chicago.
I don't care about expensive things. Cashmere coats, diamond rings don't mean a thing. All I care about is love. That's what I'm here for. I don't care for wearing silk cravats, ruby studs, satin spats don't mean a thing. All I care about is love. Give me two eyes of blue, softly saying, let me see her standing there. And honest mister, I'm a millionaire. I don't care for any fine attire Vanderbilt might admire. No, no, not me. All I care about is love.
That's Richard Gere singing from the soundtrack recording of Chicago. My guest, Paul Bogave, supervised and conducted the music for the film. Paul, what are some of the exercises that you gave Richard Gere to help him develop the singing voice he needed for this role?
One of the exercises is actually a rock and roll exercise, and it's I call it the Tina Turner scrunch. Now I know this is radio, and it would help if I could show you this, but let me describe it. She does something naturally. Tina Turner, she uses her lower body. She scrunches her nose up, technically, and she gets these incredible high notes that are don't hurt her, go right over her vocal cords, and you know, uses her entire body and her face. And I used that with almost everybody. I used it with Catherine for her high notes, which she did not come with, and for Richard to open up. And I did a lot of exercises with him that he would where he would loosen his jaw, you know, and he would hum through the song. He would do ma 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 ma, that through all the notes instead of just going to the words. Also, the other thing that I should tell you is I had him speak and act the words as I played the piano. That's a separate thing. And it's the reason I have them do that is I want them to be able to act the songs like as if they were monologues, as if they were not, as if there were no music there. I don't want them to have to depend on the notes to carry the acting. I want to make sure that they really, really understand the lyrics the way they understand their lines in the film.
So what were some of the exercises that you gave the non-singers in Chicago to help them reach those high notes they needed?
Well, the first thing I would start with is to get their speaking voice up to the height and an emotion that these high notes carry. And a lot of it has to do with generating the excitement. That's why you sing high notes. I mean, it should not just be singing a pretty loud note. There's always some kind of great excitement. Now, at the end of All I Care About Is Love, Richard's first big song, the last statement is the height of the excitement, the climax of the song. So I would have him take a speaking voice like this. All I care about is love. All I care about is love. And he would extend his speaking voice, not try to sing, just get that feeling, and get that feeling in his body of where that goes, where it goes, you know, where it settles in your sinuses, in your face. And the next thing we would do would totally be go away from that and take the note. Dee, 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 on a D, or ya, 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 ya. And he keeps singing that and then put the two together. But that was the first technical thing. It also involved relaxing his shoulders, pulling his jaw down, relaxing every muscle in his body except his legs, which you use as a strong bass. And the other thing is, all Rob Marshall's choreography is very low-based. It's not tight. It's not like the Fosse style. It's very based. It's based low in your body. So I had a great, it was perfect. I had the great, it was a great ally for me, the style of dancing, because I could use it in helping people sing.
Now, women's voices tend to be a little different than men's in the sense that women's voices, you have the head voice and the chest voice.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And the difficulty of negotiating the passage in between them. Men's voices tend to, I think, just be more chesty unless you're singing falsetto.
Right,
unless you're
right.
Smokey Robinson or something.
right, exactly, yeah.
So is there a different technique you use for women than you do for men?
Yeah. I don't, in the high notes, there's a thing called a mix, which you just talked about in a way, that you try and negotiate the head voice and the chest voice together. For example, in All That Jazz, the end of All That Jazz, no, I'm no one's wife, but oh, I love my life, and all that jazz. That's very high. That note, jazz. Catherine came to me with a great big belt voice that stopped, I'd say, about a third lower. That's three notes lower than that note, jazz. And first thing I said to her, by the way, was, did you listen to Shirley Bassey? I know she's Welsh. She said, did I listen? I was like, you know, winning contests, imitating her. So she came with that kind of big belt style. What I did with her was I used the 20s sound, which is very, very nasal. And they spoke like that, I think, because they didn't have microphones and they had to project through their nasal passages. What I did with her is we did a lot of notes up there, speaking up there. All that jazz. She would get that in her head voice, make it nasal, and all of a sudden, she reared back one day and she just belted the whole thing, as you hear now in the soundtrack and when you see the movie.
I think most musicals are done with the songs pre-recorded, and then then you lip-sync to it, particularly if it's a dance number. You're not singing and dancing at the same time.
No. In fact, you are from the beginning of time. I think it's always been you pre-record because of the sound quality in a studio versus the sound quality on a set, which is quite poor for singing. And this has been done for years. And the trick to this. The real trick is in the preparation, as we did, I prepared the singers knowing what the shots were going to look like, mm-hmm. knowing how they were going to be staged, how they were going to breathe. For example, Renee, I think, sings a song, My Funny Honey. She's draped all over the piano. There's one point where she arches her back and sings a note. And I wanted her, that feeling, I wanted them aware of what it was going to look like. So when you saw them and heard these pre-records coming out of their mouths, they had a relationship to the picture. And then the secondary, the hard thing about lip singing is you do not just move your lips, you really sing. You sing on the set and you breathe, or else it looks completely fake.
Do the actors like to work hard at singing?
Well,
you know, I mean, like, are they into it?
Yeah. Yes, I'm laughing about it. Well, yeah. Do you like to go? You like going to the gym all the time? That's my criteria about it. I'm laughing because there was one day when Renee Zellweger came in, and you know, I think she's a genius. She's a genius, and I think she's a perfectionist, and she can be very hard on herself. And she, you know, she came with the least background of singing, and of course, in the course, improved the most of anybody. But she was frustrated. She was just like, "I'm sick of this. I don't want to do these exercises. I've had it. It's not getting any better." And I thought, okay, I got to feel like what she's feeling. And I said, "You know what? Sounds like when I go to the gym, I hate it. I hate every second of it. I hate it. It's so boring." She said, "Oh, I love it. I can go for 2 hours." I said, "Well, I'll make you a deal. If I sit here on the floor and do sit-ups, will you do these exercises?" And she did. It was great, you know? So the answer to the question is, yes, some people get really frustrated and tired. But they, as she did, she slogged through, and she had a great breakthrough after that.
Have your experiences working with actors who have to learn how to really sing for musicals, have those experiences made you believe that anyone can sing, or is it only made you believe that certain people can,
no.
can sing?
No. I will unfortunately say that there are limits, and the limits are if you plunk a note out and somebody hits another note and they're kind of what's known as tone deaf, that you just better not bark up that tree. You've got to be, when you say non-singer, let's say a beginning singer, that's different. That's somebody who has basic pitch and rhythm. And then you've got something to work with, and you cannot draw blood from a stone.
Well, Paul Bogave, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Paul Bogave is the conductor and music supervisor of the film Chicago. The soundtrack has just been released. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Roberta Sherrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross.
Slick your hair and wear your buckle shoes. And all that jazz, I hear that Father Dip is gonna blow the blues. And all that jet, hold on, honey.